Welcome to Animateez, a retro anime review comedy podcast. Join our resident anime nerd Mackenzie and anime noob Lindsay as they delve into their VHS vault and review the best and worst of what the 80s and 90s had to offer. These episodes contain spoilers and adult language, so stick around if you're cool like that.
Welcome to this week's episode of Animateez. I tried to come up with a first-class intro this week, Lindsay, but I think I'm just going to wing it. But I have to be careful because I don't want the intro to be too bowing or say anything that might fly over people's heads, or else the episode might end up in a tailspin and just crash and burn, you know, within the first minute, leaving us grounded. So let's hope I can help this episode take off so that people don't jet.
Let me guess. Is it something about airplanes?
Was I a little too on the nose?
Oh my god!
Was I propelling too many puns towards you?
I was waiting for you to stall.
So I'm guessing that you're not completely lost at the theme of this week's series.
Is it decoupage?
What?
No, I'm joking. It's obviously planes.
Yeah. This week, Lindsay, we are taking to the skies of Japan when we watch Eozora Shoujo Tai, which directly translates to the Blue Sky Girls Squad.
Ooh.
But is known in North America by a much less cooler name, 801 TTS Airbats.
Airbats?
Airbats.
Okay, that's a stupid translation. Why would they not just keep the original title? Like
it's the 90s.
Yeah, that's fair. They're like, we have to think of something of our own.
So, this story follows an elite aerobatics team in the Japan Air Self-Defense Force.
What? This is totally not what I thought it would be.
That is...
I literally was going to ask you, how short are their skirts?
This team is comprised of loose cannons, difficult cases, and near rejects from other pilot squads that are being given their final chance.
Okay.
The JASDF wants nothing more than to disband this unit and is looking for every reason to. Enter in Takuya Isuguri,
okay,
an airplane mechanic who must find a way to get the girls to put aside their rivalries so they can cooperate in the air and become functioning members of the JASDF. But it's a little hard to get the girls to stop fighting when you're now in the center of their love triangle.
What? Yeah, that's going to make girls calm down and listen.
No, we are not watching a show, Lindsay, about stewardesses.
I thought they definitely were. I was like, is this a view from atop?
Now, that being said, this is from Studio Fantasia, which did do Agent Ika.
Oh.
And a bunch of other ecchi stuff.
No.
But you'll be happy to know this is not an ecchi series.
Thank God. I was about to be like, son of a bitch.
If you look up at the history of this studio, it's like ecchi, 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 hentai, ecchi, 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 hentai. But not this.
Just the one thing they did.
This is not 185 panty shots in the first 15 seconds.
Thank God. Holy shit. I don't know if I'd have it. It hasn't been long enough since April Fool's. It's still April.
I gave you a promise of a little bit of time before I throw something like that at you.
And by that, I meant 2 weeks.
Now, this 1994 OVA series gets mixed reviews.
Okay.
Some calling it a military advertisement, and others calling it a fun romp in a genre that we don't often see.
What, sky dancing?
No. When I say aerobatic, think of it like, okay, have you seen Top Gun?
No.
Okay. They are jet fighter pilots.
Oh!
I thought
they were like parachuters.
No.
I was thinking like the opening of Charlie's Angels.
No. These are the fighter pilots in the Japanese Air Defense Force. What, you think like, man, the Japanese Air Defense Force is like invading somewhere and they're like, you must look good as you fly down.
Well, I'm less interested in this series now.
No, it's about fighter pilots that are loose cannons and need to become better.
All right, well.
Wow. This whole time you're like, okay, yeah, cool. And it's because you thought it was about fucking parachuters?
I thought it was like sky fancy dancing? Yeah.
No, it's...
I was like, Red Bull does this. It's
like,
cool.
It's like anime Top Gun, but it's all lady pilots.
Oh, all right. Do they have cool code names?
I don't know. You'll have to wait and see. Are you excited to suit up and fly into the blue yonder?
I am so nervous. Well, I just feel like there's something you're not telling me. And maybe I'm wrong.
Well, Lindsay, you'll be watching the first three episodes, which is the first arc.
Okay.
And, oh gosh. Sorry. This is a complete aside. What part in the episode do I tell you to go watch the series?
What part of the episode?
Yeah. Is it right? Meow!
I'm leaving.
See you in 10 seconds.
I thought you were like genuinely asking me, and I was like, you do it before you throw to the intro or to the middle part. Like, I don't understand why you're, you dork.
And we're back from watching the first arc of 801 TTS Airbats. And Lindsay, did this show leave you feeling like a Boeing airplane, aka falling apart? Or did you catch a jet stream and soar to new anime enjoyment heights?
I would say it was just like a flight, just a casual flying over from one place to another.
Was there like good in-flight snacks?
Yeah, I would say there was like decent in-flight snacks.
A cute stewardess?
Sure. It was just a very run-of-the-mill, like, you know, oh, I gotta fly over here for a business meeting kind of thing. It wasn't like extravagant, but it wasn't terrible. We didn't crash and burn. Oh, man. All the screws are still in the right places on the plane.
No one tried to open the door and jump out?
Yeah, none of that. None of that happened. So I think we got off pretty safe this week.
Well, that's good.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, this one was cute. I mean, there's obviously some problems that I'm going to have with it. I mean, I did text you that I was writing in all capitals at some points.
Yep. No, I know exactly the moments that I'm going to have to.
Yeah, you're going to have.
Talk you down from an angry ledge.
Oh, my gosh. Just going to like trigger parts of my life. Christian Cap Lindsay's going to come out.
I actually think the series is a little underrated.
Really? Okay.
I think it's secretly good.
Okay.
At least the first arc. So after this arc, we move into more slice of life territory and less military territory. So like we get like spooky mountain retreat, beach getaway, eating contest episodes, which are like three of the four remaining
eating
episodes.
Eating contest episode? Oh my gosh. Somehow what do they have to eat?
Like spicy ramen or something.
Oh, okay.
Not to say those aren't fun episodes.
No, not at all.
They're just a little different than the first three and much, much more fan service-y.
Oh, man. Yeah, there was a lot of points where I was like, just waiting. I was like, what did he make me watch? What did he make me watch? And so I was just nervous the entire time.
So the series never finished. They got to episode 7 and they were like, okay, bye. And it never actually got an ending.
It's like Soul Bianca.
Yeah. So going by the initial arc, I do actually really like the show. It does have its flaws, like you mentioned, but it's fun. It's simple to follow. It's got some funny moments.
Yeah. I think there was like things that I was like, when I finished watching the entire thing, I was like, okay, like I like the outcome. I think it was just certain plot points of how they got there that I was like, ugh.
Coming to a romance. It does the romance. It does that love triangle pretty well. It doesn't just throw you everyone into it. It kind of like slowly adds the other person into it. It's a little more subtle. It's not just like, it's not like Tenchi where it was just like, yeah. We all love you.
Okay, yes. I guess when you compare it to Tenchi, yeah, it is more slower paced.
And you didn't watch the dub because thankfully we watched the sub.
Yes. I was like, did I watch the dub? No, we did watch the sub.
If you watched the dub, because the first thing you would have said when we came back was, what the ever-loving hell is this? Because if anyone listening to this plans to watch the show, do not watch the dub. It is absolute utter trash.
Are we talking like Stewart Academy of Voice Acting trash? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But like with almost every character.
We really need to have like a March Madness bracket where we just pit together all these terrible voiced characters and see who is like the worst.
I love that just because sometimes you go from like, ooh, this character has a really hot, sultry voice to like, hi, my name is Misa. You're just like, whoa.
Did you say Misa? Like Misa Amane?
It's the first thing that came to mind. That is not what Misa sounds like in the English dub, no. Of course.
Not I mean, I would love that so much if that's who Light is, like, in a quote-unquote relationship with.
Hi, I'm a model. Everyone wants me.
Oh my god!
I'm dating the hottest boy in school, and we're both secretly murderers.
Light!
I hope anyone listening to this that has some very large love for Misa is hating us right
or
now.
I thought you were going to say, I really hope somebody who's listening to this with, like, vocal editing software dubs our voices onto.
You mean me?
I mean, it would be good for TikTok. I'm just saying.
I can do that.
Oh my gosh. Birthday present for me.
But no, the Japanese version, we got lucky. It's authentic and not.
I thought we were talking about Death Note still. I was like, no, the English voice cast is so good.
No, the English voice cast of that is great. But.
Sorry. Yes, back to Airbats.
Back to Airbats.
Oh, man. I don't think there was any really bad ones.
No, it's fairly well done. Yeah. Across both the voices and the audio and the music, I think it handled itself pretty well. The airplane sounds didn't sound overbearing or out of place.
Yeah, exactly. And it was mixed really well, so it didn't just, like, smack you in the face when they were flying all of a sudden. But yeah, no, I think the choices for the voice acting were pretty good, because it wasn't so overtly campy or whatever that it became annoying. Like, it still fit with the lighthearted kind of attitude of the show.
Yeah,
and it wasn't, like, you know, it wasn't even too serious or anything.
Even Isurugi, who's supposed to be this just, like, goofy guy, didn't sound like, hi everybody, like, oh my god, obviously, but in Japanese.
I was like, he didn't sound like Kermit the Frog.
Konnichiwa, watashi wa Isurugi. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, incredible.
He didn't sound like that.
Weird. I don't know why they wouldn't have gone with that. If I was that casting director, man, you would get hired. You would get booked so fast.
I think we have to fire the new casting director. How come? Well, he's got a bunch of sexy pictures of Kermit the Frog on his desk, and lately a lot of the people he's been hiring sound a little too close to Kermit the Frog.
No, I think that's great. We'll just keep hiring him.
In the name of the moon, I will punish you.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, back on track.
Sorry, yes. I
TTS
mean, I guess.
TTS Airbats. It doesn't look like shit either.
No, I think my thing is, because it's, you said it was, like, in corporation with the Japanese Air Defense Force or whatever.
I think somewhere in the credits, maybe.
Yeah, it was like, it says it in the theme song, which I was a little bit like, if this is recruiting stuff for this Japanese Self-Defense Air Force, they did, like, I feel like maybe they should have done a better job if this was to, you know, like, make people want to come and join
you,
the Air
are
Force.
Are you kidding me? No. Picture this. Okay.
Sicily.
You are a young Japanese male.
Unsure
what to do. And then you watch a TV show that says, hey, you show up in the military base and you'll have two hot girls clinging to you, telling
you'll
you
they
love
you. You're
going
to see them naked right off the bat.
Yes. Exactly. This show did exactly what it was supposed to do in participation with that. Is that it made, you know, these, a lot of men, especially in, like, the episode after that you didn't watch, they're all, like, in the hot spring when something scary happens, they all, like, run out of the water bouncing around and they all, like, grab onto him. If you're some, like, nerdy Japanese kid seeing this in the 90s, you're like, I know what I want to do with my life. Like, if you're desperate enough, which is what the military wants, then you're gonna go for it.
I guess when you say it like that, because I was, like, thinking about it from a female point of view, and I was like, I would not want that.
Oh, this was not for, it was not trying to get men or women to join it. It
they
was trying to get.
They didn't give a shit about the female audience.
No.
What? Shocking.
Of course not.
In the 90s? Nah, we didn't need to be, nah. They had Sailor Moon, they were fine.
Yeah, of course. No, this was very much so to get young men to join the military.
Oh my gosh. Well, then, yeah, I guess it was smart.
Yeah. And it helps that, like, you know, this, it's not full of unattractive characters. Not that they're, like, space pirate hotties like last week or anything.
Mm-hmm. How can you compete with space pirate hotties?
Exactly. And honestly, if you're going to have to pick between the two of them, you're probably, at least for me, going to pick Mitaka.
Oh, yeah. She's kind of the obvious choice.
The most attractive, but also, like, got the best outfits and, like, has that, like, mean girl, but secretly, you know, a kind-hearted girl that's just misunderstood.
She's like trying to figure out how to express her emotions properly.
She's kind of the tsundere, I guess you'd say.
Yes. Yes. I know what that is now.
But
I'm learning.
I think the cast is pretty fun.
Yeah, there are some fun characters in here. There's also some dumb characters, but we'll get to them.
Let's meet those characters by moving on to the show here. But let's actually start with the opening soundtrack, the OP.
It was just a lot of inspirational aviation metaphor lyrics. Soar high and reach your dreams. You know, fun things like that.
Yeah, it's Niji ni Naritai, which is I Want to Be a Rainbow by Mayaka.
And I want to be a rainbow.
I actually quite like the intro song.
Oh, okay.
It's like a nice little alt pop song, some good rock guitar solos and actually good vocals for once.
Yeah, that is true.
I don't know. It's catchy. I liked it.
Yeah.
You're not much of an intro song person, but.
No, I'm like, these are too long. Get to the point. Fine. But no, I didn't hate listening to this one.
Good to know. Everybody, that's the good review. Didn't hate it.
Woo! Oh my gosh. Well, anyways,
then let's go to episode one. I don't think we actually have episode titles for these, did we?
No, we don't, because I have nothing written down.
They technically have titles. They just don't show them on the show.
Oh.
So the titles of the first three episodes are DEFCON 1, DEFCON 2, and DEFCON 3.
Oh, wow.
And then episode 4 is a random title, and then it goes DEFCON 4, 5, 6.
Oh, all right.
So they're nothing special. So great. DEFCON 1.
There are no samurai pizza cats. All right, so Isarugi is having his first day on base. He is already looking incompetent and put in front of the head honcho because he's like, do you know what 801 does? He's like, he doesn't. So,
and they still don't tell him.
No, he's just like, well, fuck you. Go do your job now. And so like he almost gets run over when he's leaving the base. And what does he do? Takes a look at her boobs, because why not? So she's like, well, I guess I'll just drive you to the base. And they're like driving there. And like, while they're driving, she's like, yeah, we live in separate dorms because, you know, I'm part of something different than what you're a part of and things like that. And he's like, I still don't understand what's going on. And then they drive past. There's like a van with people with cameras. And this was when my first little like, Kenzie, what are we watching? What are these pervs doing? I'm starting to get suspicious.
They weren't perving, technically. They're military fanboys.
I was just like, so help me. If they like fly in string bikinis, I'm going to rage. She stops the vehicle because the sight dog Patriot, he must have eaten something terrible and made himself sick. So she basically just is like, all right, well, I got to go deal with this. You can just walk to your bases that way.
Well, she's a little mad because he makes it sound like he doesn't care that the dog is sick, but that's not what he meant to say.
So he has to just like walk there, and he gets there and daydreams because it's like a shitty little warehouse. He's like, oh, well, I bet you it's just like this top secret whatever. And he fantasizes about like walking in, and it's this like high tech military base that's like all about alien space fighting. I don't know. I mean, like, that was kind of funny.
You gotta have hope.
You do, exactly. And but this like daydream is shattered because there's a bat that just flies into his face. He freaks out and he runs in, and of course he goes
after grabbing a fistful of panties.
Yes,
off the drying rack accidentally.
Yes. And of course he like walks into this one room, and what's in there? Oh my gosh, is it like a naked woman bathing? Oh man. no, don't be in there, bud. And so she like freaks out and kicks him out. And he like flies out the door and then falls into a different room where there's a different naked woman bathing. And then so she kicks him and he like gets splatted somewhere, and he goes to like wipe his face off with something. And yep, they're panties. So that makes the girls really happy.
They beat the living shit out of him.
Oh my gosh. This was kind of funny. He just like, oh man.
Ballooned up in the face, missing teeth. And like, yeah. Poor guy, he was not trying to be a pervert.
No. And so that's why I was a little bit like, all right, like, I get it. Like, but I just love that, like, they go to meet their captain or whatever and be like, this guy was And he's just doing like the worst weightlifting possible.
Oh my god, yeah, he's like swinging his hips while lifting this, like,
I know, I was like, all momentum, just poor form.
I do love their captain though.
I know, he's kind of funny. Oh man, so he's like, yeah, this is our new maintenance person.
Well, not just maintenance, airplane mechanic.
Yeah, and they're like, oh shit, sorry, it's not just some random perv who walked in, it's but actually
But he's also like, oh, young guys like searching for underwear. I used to do it when I was younger, too. Not even mad at their story.
Oh, man. He gets shown to his room. It's a storage room. And the girl is like, I'm so jealous because I wish I had a private room. And it's just like this room full of like boxes and shit they didn't know where to put. Next day, it is revealed what the 801 actually is. And they are a impulse force that's just for display and performing. They're not actually like a combative force. They're just like fancy.
Well, they're training to do other stuff.
Dream.
Also, the previous night, after getting his ass kicked, he somehow manages to riz up Hanada and like make her blush like moments after she beats the shit out of him. Because somehow this nerd guy's just got like the absolute riz. Clear.
So then that's kind of starting to blossom there. If we're like, all right, let's see how this works out. And so, yeah, like they're doing their performing and practicing and all that fun stuff. We get another daydream where there's like a red alert on base. And it's like this giant like monster thingy with like bulging eyes that are just like storming through the city. And it like shoots an eyeball out to like attack things. And I was like, this is disgusting and fantastic. And then it turns out it's just a daydream and he's playing with toys. And I'm so sad.
I was going to say, when you were watching that, were you like all of a sudden like, wait, what?
Yeah, I was like, what is with this kaiju in this city? What is going on?
This is a kaiju city? And then you see both like Hanada and Mitaka die?
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck?
But I was also like, this is a really cool series. And then it was a daydream, but I was like, damn it.
Yeah, he's just playing with toys.
Also, did you clock the Sailor Jupiter on the shelf in his room?
Yeah, he has a Millennium Falcon, a Sailor Jupiter, Gundams, Ultraman, the girl from a Takano video. He's got some Godzilla monsters, something from Gunbuster, and then some random waifus and robots I couldn't place.
How did I know that you would know all of the toys on the shelf?
I figured you weren't going to do that research, because how would you?
No, I was like, Sailor Jupiter. And then I thought there was, I was like, oh, look, Inuyasha. And I was like, that's not Inuyasha.
No, I thought the same thing, but that's one of the ones I couldn't figure out. It's on the second scene when it shows the other side of the show.
So Mitaka like catches him playing with his little toys. But yeah, Mitaka is like being all cryptic about like what happened to get them disbanded or whatever. And like that Hinata isn't all that she seems to be and that he should know some things about her. And they're walking into a meeting. Everybody's quiet. And he just says, he asks what Hinata's problems are as everyone is in this meeting room trying to do like a ready for like a super, super important briefing. This new guy's just like talking shit about a pilot.
But again, in an innocent way that he's going to get blamed for it.
Exactly. Like he just doesn't like intentionally do it like in a rude way. It's just. Bad place, bad time. So while they're in this meeting, they're talking about how like they need to have a flight test tomorrow because if they like their squadron is costing too much money, and so they need to see if, you know, this if they don't pass this test, they're not worth their budget, and so they're gonna get disbanded, which is terrifying.
Well, that's a huge deal, because it's like, not just you'll be reassigned, it's we're just gonna shut you down and you're gonna go home and see ya,
have a nice life.
Already at the last leg of things.
If this doesn't work out, we can't do anything for you. So then after this meeting, it's hinted at that like Hinata maybe had an affair with the superior officer. And that's why.
And it's worded in such a perfect way where that's exactly where your brain goes.
Yeah, 100%.
She's literally like, oh, you know, a young military girl and an old officer with a wife and kids. What do you think happened? And you're like, oh, shit. I didn't see that coming from her character.
You're asking leading questions. So shady. Oh, my gosh. But yeah, so then like the test begins. And this is one of my favorite bits that kind of happens is on the ground. One of the other girls like bets 10,000 yen that it's going to like they're going to be fine or something. And the other guy's like, no, they're going to like. They're gonna fail so hard. And so I love it. But yeah, so then we like head into this test, and Mitaka decides to get competitive with Hinata. The shit talking begins between them, which I'm like, I feel like you should focus on what you're doing if your entire squadron is at risk.
Yeah, now is not a time to be a dick.
Right?
Now, Mitaka gets stuck in an unfortunate group of people that get put into where other people's negative opinions of them cause them to start acting on those opinions more and more to keep up that hard appearance and make people afraid of them as a self-defense mechanism. So I feel for her because she has a bad history, but also you're going to fuck all this shit up.
Right? You're like, you're going to have some severe consequences if you don't actually focus. And we see that because one of the planes like gets scraped. And so it's rudder. The flappy part that sears the thing like gets absolutely just like non-functional. And it's like, well, great. Now she can't land. And it's like, you're doing all of this. They're already being like, this isn't a professional squadron. And we should take their funding away. And then it's like, you pull this shit in the air in front of all of them. Like, good choices were not made. But I mean, like, good thing Isarugi is there to hop on the radio, tells her to stabilize the other one's plane with her wing, so they have to like
do this cool little balancing maneuver.
Yeah, they're able to land, but it's still just like, guys.
I still love this scene personally. It's got good tension, got some good problem solving on. There's some character development when like Mitaka's apologizing for being a bit of a bitch.
For being terrible. That is true. I don't know. When I was watching this, I was thinking back to like when I was working at the circus and talking with the acrobats and how they were talking about like, you need to still have fear when you're doing these things because the fear is what keeps you alive and keeps you like in the zone. And I feel like there was none here. And I was like, people can die. What are you doing? That was my thought.
That's fair.
Back on the ground, we end the episode with the girl putting her hand out to get the 10,000 yen that she bet because she won.
I love that. It's like, well, I guess you guys get to keep being a unit. That was some pretty impressive flying. Anyways, bye.
We had a bet and you lost.
I love Sakura.
It's so good.
She just like this goofy little smile, just like, hi, I know you're my technical mega boss, but like, a fucking deal's a deal, bro.
Yeah, you made a bet, now pay up. I love it.
Also, we learned what happened with Hinata, which is she didn't sleep with him. I guess he said that women will never be fighter pilots.
What a piece of shit.
So she backhanded him.
I mean, deserved.
And like, you know what? Sometimes the action is worth the consequence. And backhanding a sexist pig is always worth the assault charge.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
That's a personal opinion. Not telling y'all to go enact that for legal reasons.
On to episode 2. Episode starts with Isarugi daydreaming again while hanging panties, which is always fun.
Sorry, did you say he was hanging panties?
Yeah, well, hanging up panties.
No. He was walking into them because he was daydreaming while walking.
Oh, I don't know why I wrote while hanging up panties. Okay, well, they're still panties. He's excited.
I love these random glimpses into his mind while he's like playing with toys or daydreaming, but they're also really confusing when you're watching the show for the first time.
Oh, absolutely.
Because all of a sudden in this one, they're like in the future and he's a commander and they're his like pilots and all this stuff. And I'm like, what the fuck? Was this a massive time jump?
Yeah, you're like, we missed something. Did we skip an episode?
It's not.
But yeah, he's like walking around. He's like, oh, it's my birthday tomorrow. But he's doing that thing where it's like, it's my birthday, but I don't want anything. But yeah, I just love that Mitaka to the side is like, wow, he really wants a gift. Yeah, she decides that she's going to take him out for dinner.
She, and you kind of see this on screen, it's like she's slowly warming up to him and realizing that he's actually a nice guy.
Yeah, it's always so strange because I'm like, is she though?
She is, because like she pictures him having fun while eating and she thinks it's cute. So she opts to like take him out for his birthday.
I don't know. I guess I'm just so like whiplashed with her actions that I'm just like, I don't know what she wants. But yeah, it's just funny because she like goes to be like, I'm going to take you out for dinner. And he's already being asked out to dinner by Hinata. And she just gets like pissed.
I feel so fucking bad for her because she feels this brief moment of happiness where she's like, you know what? I'm going to share it with someone that I think's actually kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
And because of her built-in defense mechanisms, as soon as that plan gets ruined, she like
shits all over the place.
Yeah, literally. And she's like, oh, what a stupid idea going for dinner.
And like they're in training the next day, and she like somehow like fucking takes out Hinata's plane, sending her into a spiral. Like, so dangerous. It's such a bad choice. What are you doing? But yeah, I also love that, again, Sakura bets 5,000 yen.
I can't tell if she's a gambling addict or just really smart.
I think she's just really smart.
I think you're right, because in multiple episodes, she knows exactly what to bet on.
Mm-hmm. And knows when to bet.
And when to bet. And it always works out for her. So, like, you know what? Good for you, Sakura.
Exactly.
Oh, game gosh. The system when you can.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then, yeah, after this, we get Mitaka having her, like, emo moment in the rain about what she did to Hinata's plane. And stuff.
Which,
like,
I get that. Mm-hmm. You feel
like,
bad.
Damn it, I was a piece of shit. I almost killed a girl.
This is also two episodes in a row now that they've done, oh, I crashed into the wing and caused problems. which is a little bit repetitive, but
yeah,
it's fine.
There's a couple of repetitive moments that I'm like, what? We couldn't have think of something else. So the next day, it's Isurugi's birthday. Isurugi is getting ready to go, and he notices that Mitaka is like in her bed, super sick from being in the rain, crying. And he's like gonna, he just decides, instead of like heading out, he decides to stay back and like take care of her. And she's like, no, you have to go for your date.
You fucking idiot, leave.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, I can't do that when you have a raging fever. And so he's like wiping the sweat off her head and stuff like that. And it's so sad because there's also cuts to Hinata at the restaurant, and she's just like drinking a melon soda and getting stood up.
I feel so bad for her now, because in a world without cell phones, you really just get ditched with no warning.
Yeah. And like, she tries calling at one point and nobody is there to pick up because the captain and the other two pilots are at the horse races gambling.
Well, and of course, and our main guy's a little too busy wiping sweat away.
He's like, there's sweats on her boobs, but I don't know if I should wipe it away. And I'm like, oh my
gosh. The answer is you don't need to.
It's true.
But he does.
I like that my note here was, of course, her fucking shirt is open.
Well, you gotta let out as much heat as you can. You do know, much like the top of the head, the titties release a lot of heat.
Do they? As a member of the society that has titties. I question that sentence.
That's fair. You should.
Oh, man. But yeah, she like comes to consciousness briefly, and they like look like they're gonna have this tender moment, and then she's like, I have to pee. Oh, so he's like piggybacking her to the bathroom because I guess she can't walk because her fever is too high. Yeah, in her delusional state, just goes, I want to stay like this forever.
After and like they, falling on his ass.
Yeah, and then they like crash to the floor. And it looks like it's gonna be this like sweet romantic moment, and then she reveals that she's not sick at all, and she's just being a shit disturber, and you're like, damn it, son of a bitch.
I know, you're like, I was feeling for you.
I was so happy for you, and now I just think you're a piece of shit.
You were doing so well.
I believed in you. We all did. And yeah, so like Hinata chews her out when she gets back, because like, that was a really shitty thing to do to your coworker, to your, I would say friend, but I don't think they're friends. Oh man. But they're interrupted because the captain and the other pilots come back, and pilot or the captain and Pinker Girl are broke, but Sakura,
she made millions.
She made bank.
Well, she's like, I told you guys to vote to bet the same way I did. You should have listened to me.
Come on, guys. I know it. And it's like, I love that when they're at the racetrack, there's like, they're looking at the sheets to like figure out who they're going to bet on. And Chi-Chan, the bat, at one point just has like a hat and a pencil. And he's like writing down all these things. It was so cute.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to mention the bat from the start of the first episode is a pet of one of the pilots.
And his name is Chi-Chan.
And he's very cute.
He's adorable. But anyways, yes. So...
They're fighting over her being a bitch and faking about being sick.
Exactly. And then they're complaining about losing all their money. And then while this is all happening, Isurugi collapses with a fever. So it turns out Mitaka was sick?
Yes.
I guess?
She was very sick, but had a moment of, again, oh, I was open with someone. I had to turn into bitch mode really quick to save myself.
Pull that back in.
Yeah.
So So yeah, we kind of get like a nice bookend at the end of this episode with Isurugi like having another daydream, or I guess it's a fever dream now. But he wakes up to the two girls fighting with each other in his room. So I'm like, guys, he has to rest. And they're just like bickering. And then on the topic of, we were talking about earlier with things being a little repetitive in the show, at the end of this episode, we learn that there's another flight test.
That because results course, in their disbandment, maybe.
I know, which I was like, guys.
So original. But also,
we just did this.
I don't know what Hinata did wrong here.
Yeah.
Because, like, she hasn't done anything wrong at all so far this episode.
Not that I've seen.
Except be super nice. And Mitaka's just losing her shit on her, being like, you're the reason we're going to die.
Yeah, girl, maybe take some, like, either way, DEFCON 3. We open on a training session with Mitaka, like, she's still grumpy, and it makes for a very tense practice, so that's really fun and really safe, and, yeah, they nearly crash into each other, so good job. We're off to a great start, guys.
This time it wasn't just the wings, though, at least.
No, it was, like, almost the whole damn thing. Mitaka gets called up to the office because the creepy guy with no eyebrows... is like, I know how I'm going to sabotage this test. And so she gets called up and they're told, like, they tell her, like, congrats, you're being moved up to, like, a combat pilot. You start tomorrow.
You have to leave everyone behind.
Yes, leave everyone behind. And she's like, this is what I've always wanted, to fly an eagle and be a combat pilot. But then she hesitates. And
oh,
you know
why? I know
why?
Exactly what's about to happen here. I know where we're going.
She hesitates because of a fucking guy that she's known for literally, like, a week. No!
Okay.
Fuck that.
I need to make some comments here.
Okay, go for it.
Number one, I agree with you.
Okay, great.
Do not give up the best opportunity of a lifetime for a boy you just met and are dating.
Absolutely.
And even if you are dating them, sometimes you just gotta leave them for the best opportunity of your life.
Absolutely.
And that's okay. But this is still supposed to be a romance anime.
I don't care! I know girls who debated giving up full scholarships.
So the whole point is that she's supposed to be falling in love with him quickly, and she wants to stay around him. Now, obviously, we're jaded. We're jaded
like,
single
I'm
people
be
in our 30s, okay?
Smoking a cigarette, being like, let me tell you, sweetheart. Ash in his face, and you go fly that eagle plane.
Darling, listen to me. Back in my day.
Men
I gave
leave,
up the best opportunity I ever had for a handsome man in Cabo.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Worst
like,
decision ever.
But just, it's a romance anime. You gotta have the romance aspect.
Be like, well, that sucks. I really was starting to like him. Anyways, I'm gonna go chase my dreams now.
But thankfully, she doesn't do that.
She does go, which is nice. But she's still just like,
when I was watching this, I knew as soon as that happened, I was like, there was a 15-second moment where Lindsay was losing her shit.
Well, and I'm also like, apparently this is like
motherfucker better not.
I know. And I was like, well, apparently this is like a huge honor. And she's like the first woman to be able to fly an Eagle jet or whatever. So I'm like, girl, you're going to have the pick of the lot at this new place. Like, you can throw a stick and there'll be 7 new options.
Oh, and then 15 seconds later, she's like, I'll do it. And I was like, Lindsay just had her entire brain calm the fuck down in a millisecond.
100%. 100%.
Like, fever temperature back to normal.
Yeah, I was just like raging in my room and I was like, oh, this sucks. But yeah, so Isurugi he's like walking around outside and he overhears, or he's like looking for Mitaka. For like, cause she's not in practice or whatever, and he overhears the captain with like creepy eyebrow, no eyebrow dude, and the captain's like, "You're trying to sabotage our whatever," and like basically is like calling him out for his exact plan.
That wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know whatever. Blah, 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 blah. And so yeah, this is how Isurugi finds out about it. But we cut to Mitaka in an arcade,
a great outfit.
Oh, it's so good.
Love this outfit.
The like leather bomber. Oh,
hell
it looks
yeah.
Great. But yeah, she's like playing an arcade game and then some creepy old man is like, gives her his opinion that she did not ask for and then checks out her boobs. And she's like,
he literally says the word nice breasts to himself.
Yeah.
In front of his little granddaughter.
I know. I was like, you are a creepy grandpa. I don't like this. And I like that the granddaughter is like, can you win me this toy from the claw machine? He's like, yes, of course I can. And goes over and cannot do it. And runs out of change. So he's like, I'll be right back. I'm just going to go get change. And while he's getting change, Mitaka is just like, gets it in one go.
What a fucking burn.
Well, and then, yeah, she tells him, like, oh, she tells him that if he keeps opening his big mouth, like, even his granddaughter will hate him. So I was like, oh, she pulled no punches with that.
No, does the thing he couldn't do for his granddaughter, cusses him out for being a perv, and just leaves.
I love it. I love it so much. So she, like, goes again on her motorcycle, and there's been some sort of, like, collision half a block from her. And she's like, well, that sucks, and is going to go drive away. And this little girl that she just won the toy for comes out to, like, thank her again. And the sign for the arcade starts plummeting down towards her.
From the accident of telephone.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like a side effect of the accident. Mitaka is just like, oh shit, and like vroom vrooms right over to her and saves this little girl.
Vroom vrooms.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm laughing so much because I'm just picturing our two notebooks beside each other. And yours just says vroom vrooms, and mine was like, pulls this sick Akira slide. Yours is so much funnier than mine. I don't know why I had to put so much effort into me describing this girl's fucking slide in my notes when vroom vrooms over to her is so much more effective.
There we go, we're done. But yeah, she saves it, and then the grandpa like cusses the granddaughter out for being reckless.
I thought he was cussing her out for being reckless, for saving her granddaughter.
I thought he was cussing the granddaughter out for being reckless.
I don't know.
Now we're going to have to go back and watch this. I don't know. The grandpa cusses out a woman.
For almost dying.
Yeah, because it's her fault. Oh, man. I hate it. But I also, I don't know. It's great. So after all this happens, we're back at the base. And Hinata sees Mitaka, like, sneak into Isurugi's room to say goodbye. And he's asleep this whole entire time. And she's like, giving this monologue about how she's gonna miss him and blah blah blah, and she like tries kissing him while he's asleep and he wakes up, and then she has the dumbest reaction to him wishing her good luck. She's like,
storm out of the fucking room.
She's like mad at him for like not wanting, like for not fighting for her to stay. I'm like, girl, you've been nothing but mean to him. Like, he's being really gracious.
And you just found out that he knows that you're leaving. Like,
yeah.
But also, like, okay, did this scene at least calm down that initial anger? Because now she's mentioning it's not just him that she wants to stay for. It's she doesn't want to leave the team. She doesn't want to leave everybody.
It is so true. Least, you do kind of get that sensitivity.
It's like, and I that, really like this boy, but there's at least other sides to it.
It's like just one thing on, like, the pros list for staying or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. But I'm still just like, oh my gosh. And then my next note was Hinata walks in and this is such a stupid love triangle. So those are my thoughts.
You're not wrong. Because she gets mad at him now for her being in his room. I was like, oh, so you're into her, huh? When? It's like, you haven't explicitly told him that you like him.
Right? None of you have explicitly been like, yo, I think you're cool, we should date. Like, maybe just communicate better. I don't know. That's just me. Anyways, with Mitaka gone, pink-haired girl is assigned to be the second plane in this flight test. And everyone is like, oh, no. So that's fun. And they're going to have to deal with that. But
even she's not happy about it.
No.
She's like, I'm just here because I'm here to look cute. I'm not good at this.
Exactly. That's me. I'm just here to look cute. I'm not actually good at this. The next day we're at the new base with Mitaka and she runs into the grandpa and turns out he's like some sort of important person for this base.
I love this because he like walks by her and stops and looks at her and like points at her and she goes, oh shit, and points at him.
Yeah, like, they just have like oh man, but then they like have coffee together and it's super sweet and he like gives her his personal number as like a thank you for saving his granddaughter.
It turns out he's not actually that big of an asshole. He's a bit of a pervert, but he won't even let her bow for him because he thinks that she's the hero. Like, turns out he's not a bad guy.
Yeah, turns out he's
a Master Roshi type.
We all know how much I love Master Roshi.
Okay, that's a bad example. Master Roshi's too much of a pervert. It like, doesn't really Master do anything Roshi. Good. So never mind. Bad example.
He gives us a magic turtle shell. No, a cloud to ride around on. Oh, man. But yeah, so then we're back at the other base, and like Hinata is having a mental breakdown because she's like, ah, we're gonna die. We're gonna lose. Well, like, just.
There's a reason why. Pink hair
well,
girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's not doing well in their training.
No. So she's just like having this mental breakdown. And Isurugi is like, ah, I'm just gonna comfort you. And she's like crying. And she's like, you're right, I won't lose.
And you know what? He's a good guy. He's so positive. He's always amping them up. He's like, you girls got this. You're gonna be great no matter what. Just because you're part of the 801 means nothing. And he's done this in every episode. Just like,
it is true.
Hey, stop thinking you're shit. You're amazing.
Yeah, he is a very positive and like uplifting hype man for these girls that are on like the bench warmers of the flight brigade. I don't know. Oh man.
Yeah, because this one's got Sakura, Hinata, and Pink Girl.
Yes. We didn't bother to figure out Pink Girl's name. So on the day of the flight test, it's going well. The flights are like, wow, she's doing, pink haired girl's doing like a really good job flying. She's like, doing better than we expected.
Flabbergasted.
Yeah, she's like, she's perfect. How the hell did this happen? But yeah, they're like, wow, that like back end bloom, whatever. That sounds like a terrible dirty word. But yeah, they're like, this is going really well. And then they realize it's not the pink haired girl driving or piloting. And they're like, oh shit, who's in there? And it's Mitaka. They're like, who the fuck gave you permission to fly? Like, you're not a part of 801.
Yeah, the guy trying to sabotage it's so pissed.
Yeah, and then turns out the grandpa gave her authorization to fly. It's like, haha, fuck you for trying to sabotage this. They're gonna nail it. And you know what? On top of that, I'm gonna make them an official combat brigade now. Suck it. It was great. I did like how this ended. Oh, man. And then, yeah, there. So, oh, before this all ends, Isurugi has like an awkward conversation over the radio with Hinata and Mitaka. And he basically says... Well, one of you can be my girlfriend and one of you can be my mistress. This love triangle is really starting to develop and we'll have to see how it goes.
The mistress thing was wild.
Yeah.
Because like they're all like, oh, you silly boy. One of us will get you one day. But in the English version, they basically say, I don't know how I feel about being a mistress, but we'll see how it goes, I guess.
Oh,
like
they're
basically saying one of us is going to have to be a mistress. Instead of being like, nah, fuck you, one of us is getting this.
Also, I was like, polyamory, you can all just be together. I understand this was the 90s.
But you're right. I do like how this ends. I think it's a nice little succinct ending. They become fighter pilots instead of just like training ground pilots. And he gets to be in an official, everyone has a confess their love for him love triangle. So
yeah.
In the end,
yeah,
love and big dreams won.
It's true. Yeah, I was not mad at this ending. I think it was really nice. I think my main problem was there was a lot of repetition that I wish they had developed differently.
Yes, there was a lot of repetition, but at least they still managed to push through a lot of stuff. They weren't like, in episode one, here's our problem. And then episode three was just that first test. And that was it for the first thing. Like, at least we got each episode had a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree.
Now, if you had to give it a rating out of 10, what would you rate it?
I don't know. Probably like a 5.6.
Okay. So just a bit better than average, middle of the road.
Really? I was trying to be generous because I didn't want to seem like a grumplepuss.
Oh, no. You're low. No, no. So yours is middle of the road.
Oh, okay.
The actual
yes,
rating
yes.
is higher than yours.
Oh, okay. I thought they were like, oh, well, people rated this lower.
No. Okay. Rated by only 3,200 users.
Okay.
It has a score of 6.56.
Okay, I could see that.
But all of the written reviews for it, other than two, are all praising it for being weird and different, but weirdly likable.
Okay,
I think that's a pretty fair review.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair review.
Different, but it's weirdly likable.
Yeah, it is. It has its charm. Yeah, no, I could see that. I think that's an appropriate review.
And as I promised...
Ooh.
It was not full of Agent Ica-styled stuff.
Yay!
Now, that being said, there were lots of scenes where they were angled where the main thing filling the effect was boobs and then a face of another character.
But it wasn't, like, overtly, like...
Yeah, and the boobs were always in, like, a fully zipped up, like, pilot suit.
Like, the proportions were, you know,
subtle fan service.
Yeah. And, like, I can deal with that.
Would you recommend this to someone who was into airplanes?
Yes.
Perfect. That's all awesome. We needed to hear. Anyways, let's wrap this shit up, everybody. if you want to check out the rest of our episodes, we got a bunch of cool shit in the backlog of now 31 episodes. If you want to follow us on socials, we've got at Animates pretty much everywhere. If you like the podcast, make sure to follow and rate us. And we will catch you next week when Lindsay is introducing me to something I've never seen before that I'm hoping, based on what she said previously, will not be too terrible. Eozora Shoto... Oh my gosh, I'm pulling a U.
Hey.
Eozora Shotojai... Fuck.
Once more?
Eozora...
Eozora...
Okay. Eozora Shotojai... Fuck.
It's not fun when it's you, is it?
No.